Good morning, everyone. Continuing the halachas of the Oreo cookie. Today we will discuss one recipe limited to the Oreo chuta, the original Oreo. There are two types of Oreos, as we said before. One with dairy ingredient, one with no dairy ingredient. Both have an OUD. The Oreo pshuta has no dairy ingredient, but it's dairy equipment. We're going to discuss what dairy equipment is. Nat bar nat. We'll give an analogy using two types of giving analogy of the invisible man, and then we'll look at our pie case, our pie recipe, where the Oreo cookie crumbs are going to be the pie crust in a Ben Yomo Fleishik pie pan, which is, within 24 hours of the pie pan was used with meat for whatever reason. So it'll be the OUD, the dairy equipment, on a meat vessel. And we'll discuss the Shach, the Ramah, and the Shachs, how they would evaluate such a case. And, but overall, when it comes to Nat bar nat, which is really what we're talking about today, we're talking about dairy equipment. There is a general rule. We'll see. The Shach argues on it in certain cases. But the general rule is by Nat bar nat, even according to the Ramah, you don't throw anything out. So it's all edible. And one case that is a bit absurd, but maybe the absurdity will help me make it more memorable. So if your Oreo cookie, your Oreo prosciutto falls into a meat cholent and it gets cooked up, so b'di'eved, according to the Ramah, you could eat it. So that may make things easier. If you always keep that rule in mind, that's perhaps might make things simpler, and you can work from there. But that's when you have a dairy equipment, a nat bar nat, in actual meat cooked together. So, you know, the general rule is you don't throw anything out. So the Oreo pshuta is dairy equipment. What is dairy equipment? So it's a quasi-dairy status. And so we'll see how that quasi-dairy status interacts with a meat vessel. So dairy equipment really is nat bar nat. Nat bar nat is a key principle in kashrus, possible cholov, heksher kelim, kosherizing kelim, Passover. It's a key principle. And so we'll discuss it today and try to get a little bit of understanding of what nat bar nat is. And so when we say dairy equipment, we're really referring to the phenomenon of nat bar nat, secondary tam. Nat bar nat is an acronym for noisein tam, bar noisein tam. In other words, the level of tam that nat bar nat is, it's a secondary tam. It's a tam that came from another tam. So, for example, you cook meat in a pot, and the meat flavor goes into the wall of the vessel. And then when you cook subsequently, within 24 hours, so what's in the wall of the vessel goes into the water, whatever it is that you're cooking. And so that's a second time, right? When it's in the walls of the kli, that's the first time. And then when you have a second cooking, so then that flavor goes back into the water. So the flavor, that's the secondary flavor, is really born from the flavor that was in the wall of the kli. So it's diminished because it's taken a bit of a trip, right? Went from the actual meat into the wall of the kli, then let's say you washed out the kli perfectly, and then you cook some water in there. So now when the time goes into the water, the time of the water is a flavor that is you know, the progeny of the flavor that was in the wall. So it's a secondary time, secondary flavor. So I would like to use an illustration to present this idea of not bar not. And I would like to use the idea of the invisible man. Again, might be funny or a little bit odd, but I think maybe that might make it memorable and serve you in the long run. So the invisible man is a villain that was in a story by Orson Welles or H.G. Wells, one or the other. He's a villain, and he was a man, right? That's why otherwise you can call him an invisible man. He was a man, and he was able to become invisible. So I think as an analogy, we could think of the Naprenat as the invisible man. He was once a man in flesh and, well, and empirically observable, right? Like the meat in the pot. And then he went into the walls of the pot. He became invisible. So, and then he came out again. So the invisible man goes on a, goes to Yehupitzville in Nebraska to do a crime, because he's a villain. So he travels from New York to Nebraska, and he does his crime invisibly, and maintaining his invisibility, he then, within 24 hours, travels to Albuquerque, New Mexico. And traveling from New York to New Mexico, to New York to Yehupitzville in Nebraska, and then to New Mexico, all in 24 hours. So by the time he got to Albuquerque, New Mexico, he was too weak. He was too weak to to perform the crime, and that's really what not bar not is. In other words, the invisible man on the second leg of his trip to New Mexico, he just ran out of koyach. And that's what happens when the meat goes into the wall of the kli in the form of flavor. It's invisible, and then when it comes back out into the water in the second leg of the journey, that's a secondary tam, it's weaker. It's called tam kolosh, and that's what the invisible man was on his second leg of his trip to Albuquerque. He was all tired out. It was all within 24 hours, and he couldn't. He wasn't able to do the crime, Baruch Hashem. So. That's what our not bar not is like. The invisible man, he was once visible, then he went invisible, and he has two legs to his journey. On the second leg of his journey, he ran out of koyach. So the problem actually with that analogy is that there's two types of not bar not. There's two types of not bar not. There's not bar not the hetero, and there's not bar not the isuro. So, I guess, and in the Napanata Surah, you don't have that Tam Kolosh. In other words, in the second leg of the journey of the Tam, back into the contents of the, back into the, out of the walls, into the, you know, next food that's in the pot, the second cooking, we don't say Tam Kolosh. We don't say that the flavor is diminished. So I think we have to make two invisible men. I don't always have to have an invisible man who's a villain, but we have to have an invisible man who is a hero, and it's the invisible man who's the hero who gets tired out on the second leg of his trip, and the invisible man who's the villain doesn't get tired out. That's that's the way it is for a shine. And you know, Torah is mashtashesh koichi, and so therefore we understand why the good invisible man, the hero, his koich would run out on the second leg of the trip. Nevertheless, he's going to prevail. So we have two invisible men because we have two types of not bar not, right? We have two types of not bar not. We have a not bar not the hetera, in which the second leg of the journey, it has tam kolosh, and then we have not bar not the surah, And the second leg of the journey, the we don't say Tam Kolish. We say it remains in its. We still call it Tam Rishon, and if you go like the Ramah, so then you're going to say Hanan, but you're going to say Hanan because it's Isser, but because it's Tam Rishon. You don't say, there is really no cool of Nat per Nat by Nat per Nat Isser. Right? It's Nat per Nat the Heter that you have these special kulas that, like I said previously, the general rule is that you don't throw anything out when you have a nap or a gnat. Sometimes you have a nap or a gnat of milk that goes into the cholent, the meat cholent, so then you shouldn't do it l'chatchila, according to the Ramah. According to the Mechaber, you could at that point, you could do it l'chatchila. According to the Mechaber, you couldn't make it all manas for that, but according to the Ramah, Bidi Evid, do you have the there is a special kula of Napranata Hetera that there's no problem with Bas Mechalov. The secondary flavor of dairy that went into the meat cholent doesn't disqualify the cholent. The cholent can be eaten b'dyavid, and that's the kula of Napranat, one of the kulas. But the Napranat Esura, the secondary flavor of a prohibited substance, like you cook treif, he had a treif piece of meat that wasn't shechted, or a meat that wasn't shechted properly, and it's, piece of meat or chicken that wasn't shechted properly, so it gets cooked in the pot, it goes into the walls, the first leg of the journey, and then it comes out, and the subsequent cooking within 24 hours. So then we don't say that's Napranat, we say it's, I think we call it Tam Rishon, and we don't have any of the kulas that we mentioned by Bas V'Cholov. So we have two invisible men, the invisible man who is the hero. So on the second leg of his journey to New Mexico, he does kind of run out of koyach because he went from New York to Yehupetz to New Mexico within 24 hours. He's tired out by then, but the invisible man who is who's the villain, so then he didn't run out of koyach. And that's, we have two types of napranat, napranat the hair tera, napranat the sura, and we say specifically by the napranat of het tera, tam kolosh. And so let's think about our case of the cookie, the Oreo cookie crumbs, which are from the Oreo pshuta, and they're napranat the tera of milk, and they're being baked into a meat bake pie pan. So what is the status of the food in that case? What is the pie mutter? We have a little bit of milkix, and we have a quasi milkix, and it's a fleshik pan. So what do we say? So Bidyavid, it's going to be mutter, and referring back to the Oreo cookie that fell into the meat cholent, the extreme case, if that's mutter, right? You have an Oreo cookie and it was actual meat, and it's going to be mutter, according to the Ramah, at this point, once it's done. So then this is a little bit less than that, because we're not dealing with real meat. We're dealing with the flavor of meat that is in the pie pan. And the flavor of meat that was in the pie pan went into the Oreo cookie crumb crust. So it's a kosher game, right? If the Oreo cookie went into it, got cooked with meat, then it's mutter, certainly if it got cooked with tam of meat. That would be the Ramah. And yes, it is a funny case, obviously. It's not really... likely that your Oreo cookie is going to fall into your cholent, but there is a reapplication of the very same case, which might happen. In other words, you have cornflakes. So you have cornflake breadcrumbs, which are dairy equipment, napranat of milk. They have a secondary flavor of milk in the cornflakes. And mistakenly, they got, they were, someone breaded a cutlet, and they cooked the cutlet, and they fried it up. So there we say the same thing. It's we have actual meat, and you have a napranat of milchiks, and that would be mutter after the fact. The shach, however, doesn't say napranat. Shach doesn't say napranat unless it's a cooking situation. But when it comes to a baking situation, you don't have a secondary time, right? You don't have a secondary time because part of there is no second leg of the journey when the napranat was created. In other words, in the case of the Oreo pshuta, so the shach wouldn't say that that's a napranat hetera because the second leg of the journey is significantly different. In the classic case of napranat, the second leg of the journey is it's going into has a liquid as a medium to carry it. So it's in the wall of a pond, and then it goes into the water, and then from the water it goes into the next food, say a noodle or something like that. So, but when you're baking, it's in the wall of the bake pan, the meat, let's say, or the milk in this case. The milk is in the wall of the bake pan. And then when you bake the Oreo cookie on that bake pan, in the manufacture of the cookie itself, we're not talking about the pie crust, we're talking about making the cookie in the first place. So there is no medium which the tam of milk is carried. It goes directly from the wall of the pan, the milkic pan on which the Oreo cooking is being baked, and it goes from the pan directly into the Oreo cookie. So there's no medium to transfer the tam, and therefore the shach holds that that's not napranat. Napranat has to have second leg of the journey, has to have a medium to carry the tam. And when you're into baking, it's going directly from the vessel into the dough, and there's no medium. So the shach doesn't call that, you don't have the cool of napranat. So how does that affect our pie crust? How does that affect our case of the pie crust? We no longer have napranat, according to the shach, right? We have tam rishon in the wall of our pie pan. We're talking about making our pie now with the Oreo cookie crumbs. And we have our napranat. Well, according to the shach, we don't have a napranat. We have a tam rishon in the Oreo cookie and the meat pan. So that's a problem. So it's possible that it still may be mutter because we could say, we're dealing with an Oreo cookie, which is, it's produced industrially, mass produced, and we don't know at this point whether or not the baking pan in which the Oreo cookie was made was milchik, ben yomo. We don't know if it was ben yomo or not. You know, it was milchik at one point. We don't know if it was ben yomo. Maybe, and I would say, stam kedem ain't ben yomo. So, and now we're dealing with an ben yomo. We're dealing with an ben yomo of a tam rishon, and bidi evad that's mutter after the fact, right? Even if it was, now we're just dealing with stam ein ben yomo keli that had milchik keli. We don't have the kul of napranat according to the shach, but we do. We're going to use the kul of stam keli ein ben yomon. And therefore, bidya after the fact, it's already been baked. You could consider it. That there is nothing there. There's no milk there at all. And therefore, your Oreo cookie, Oreo pshuta as cookie crumbs, does not present a milk status at all, because we're going to assume that it was to get around the shach, that stam kein amein ben yoman, and you have no milk there at all. So you just have, you have a meat pan and you have a parv cookie crumbs as your crust, and everything is going to be mutter. Now of course you have to ask a rav, figure that out. But according to the Rama, you wouldn't have to come on to stam kein amein ben yoman. You have a nap or a nap of a dairy. And your meat, the presence of meat in our pie case is a presence of meat in the pie case is in the form of tam. And if we compare that to our extreme case of the Oreo cookie falling into the meat cholent and it's mutter to eat b'di'eved, so then certainly this, because we don't have meat, actual meat, which just has a flavor of meat in the pie pan. And of course, there is the application, maybe the more relevant application. Instead of an Oreo cookie and a cholent, you have the cornflakes, which are our dairy equipment, fried up with the cutlet. And you could say the same thing. You have a naparnat of dairy with meat mamish, and according to the Ramah, you'd be good. According to the Shach, it wouldn't be so good, but we could say the cornflakes were made on Ina Ben Yom Kalim. So, thank you for joining, and Rish Hashem will in the future talk about whether or not you can do this Lachat Chilo, and what is the status of the Kalim in these cases, and wish everyone a great Erev Shabbos.